Thanks, Brother Jeremy. And now we'll call upon our brother Matt Neville to give us the words of exhortation.
Thanks very much, Brother Sean. And good morning, everyone. We were certainly really looking forward to being down there at the hall this morning, but unfortunately, three of us and our family have come down with a cold, so God willing, next week we'll be down there. But it's certainly wonderful news that we're continuing to move towards all meeting together once again in person. So, brothers and sisters, there's a lot going on in the local news, the national news, and as well as the international news. A lot going on in the lives of people close to home and further away and around the world. A lot of tragedy and sorrow, a lot of unrest, retaliation, violence, and preventable and unpreventable catastrophe, and a lot of searching for justice. And I don't know what you think of it all, but certainly at times I get overwhelmed at the amount of information and issues going on. And recently it's just become too much to comprehend, to think about how to react or what to say about certain issues. So the question comes, if you or I become overwhelmed by these things, where do we turn and to whom do we turn? And the answer is, a simple yet profound answer is, we need to turn to the Word and we need to turn to God. Many, if not all, of the issues that we hear about or deal with come about because of human nature and the desire to trust in self or someone else just as fallible. In our readings for today, we read of both the corruption and the sinful ways of man, but also we read of the wonderful hope and time of true peace and justice we look forward to. So just turning back to our second portion reading then in Isaiah 60, let's read again the first three verses of that chapter, Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So we have a contrast of darkness, which is around us right now. And we have a contrast of darkness and light. The darkness, the absence of God-fearing people, trusting in anything but God. And arise and shine are action words, and they call us to do something, to have participation together. And over in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, second letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it deals with who we should participate with in action and in deed. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 14, says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So there is a clear distinction made between light and darkness, between believers in God and his plan and purpose, and those who don't believe. The two opposites cannot be in fellowship together. The believers and followers of God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will strive for righteousness and therefore light. And if the two opposites cannot have fellowship together, then we must heed the warning at the beginning of verse 14 to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If we're honest with ourselves, maybe we find it too easy at times to get along with or agree with our unbelieving friends, acquaintances, work colleagues, etc. We should then be yoked together with fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are also striving to work toward and walk toward righteousness and light. Just like the metaphor implies, the oxen or the workhorses together pulling and pushing in their work with common purpose. So we should be side by side working together in the truth towards a common purpose and goal, ultimately to glorify our Heavenly Father in the work and labor of love we undertake. Now just turning into our third portion reading in Matthew chapter 5. Let's read again from verse 14 to 16, Matthew chapter 5. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So brothers and sisters, we must let the light of the truth of the Word of God shine in our own lives and collectively as an ecclesia, as the body of Christ. While we can be sympathetic with the injustices we see going on and sympathetic with the tragedy and loss, it is not our job or our calling at present to find or administer justice for or against these matters. For we know that true justice will come, that patience on our part is needed, and that people in general will not be able to sort out all of their problems. The return of Christ is necessary for the salvation of men and women and the earth itself. But that doesn't mean that we don't do anything. As I said before, the arise and shine are action words, and we are certainly commanded and instructed to be active in the things that we're doing. Now, in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in chapter 5, Paul instructs the believers in the contrast of light and darkness. So let's read from Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. God is light, and there is no darkness in him. We are to be his children and the brothers and sisters of Christ. This chapter of the letter to the Ephesians is reminding us that we have been called to a new life in which we are to strive day by day to be more like Jesus and our Heavenly Father in character and purpose. And the light will make it plain whether we are active in this transformation or not. The Apostle Paul speaks of this contrast of light and darkness again in his letter to the Philippians and in chapter 2, reading from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. This speaks to our citizenship being not of the country we currently reside in, but that we are to be in the world, but not of it. Perhaps the most important piece of our considerations today is that we are holding forth the word of life from verse 16. We must always have the word at hand and in heart so that the light may shine even when surrounded by darkness. Back in 2 Corinthians, and this time chapter 5, the believers are called ambassadors for Christ. Just turning then to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Second Corinthians 5 verse 14, reading there, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, and if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if we as believers are to be ambassadors for Christ, what does that mean and what is an ambassador? One definition in the way we currently use the word in this day and age is this. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. And Strong's Concordance describes this word ambassador in the Greek as someone to be a senior or to act as a representative. So regardless of our age, we are to be seniors representing Christ to those we meet. And if we take the spiritual type of the definition, we are citizens of a future kingdom sent to the citizens of this world, those who have not heard the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have bestowed upon us the high calling to act as representatives, ambassadors for Christ, that we might shine as lights, proclaiming the saving work of Jesus and the gospel message. Jesus was the light. And in John 12, Jesus describes himself in this way to the people who were around him at this time. Just reading from John 12, starting at verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. From our reading, once again, in Matthew 5, verse 20, it says, For I say unto you, that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Our righteousness, our light, is not of ourselves, but is of Christ. If we are to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day, we must be in Christ. We cannot do this by ourselves, by abstaining from certain things, by following a set of rules and laws, by human willpower. John 3:16 is one of the most quoted verses and one of the most well-known verses of the entire Bible. If we read on a little further, we would glean more information on what it was Jesus came into the world to do. And we will see that it ties into our considerations of light and darkness. So let's read from John 3, verse 16 down to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In Proverbs 4, the path of the wicked is contrasted with the path of the just. Just reading from Proverbs 4, verse 14. Proverbs 4, verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness, is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The wicked or ungodly person trips and stumbles in their walk of life, and they don't even recognize what it was that was in the way that caused them to lose their footing. The path of the just is a lighted way. We should be walking on this path, and when we do stumble or trip up, it should be apparent to us what the problem was, because the light is shining and making the stumbling block known to us. So back in our first reading, or our second portion reading in Isaiah 60, we read of some of the aspects of that future time we wait and long for. In Isaiah 60, verse 18 to 21, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon be give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. And so we look forward to a time when there will be only light, no time for night or darkness, for the land will be illuminated by the glory of God. This section in Isaiah 60 is echoed in Revelation 21, speaking of the New Jerusalem, where it says there in Revelation 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, and they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I hope that we all may have found some encouragement from our daily readings today, as well as other passages we've looked at. And that when we are wrapped up in thinking about all the multitude of crazy and sad and horrible and stressful things going on in the world, when our anxiety and stress levels go up because of these things, when we feel overwhelmed by the abundance of news and events that maybe we don't even know how we should react to them, let's remember to turn to the Word, to turn to the light and let it illuminate the way and find peace and comfort in our times of need. And so we then, brothers and sisters, draw nearer to the time when we will partake of the emblems, and we join together to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with bread and with wine, as he instructed his disciples in that upper room. It is in him that we have life and hope and opportunity to seek forgiveness for our sins. He was the light of the world. He is the light of the world, and he will be the light-giving Lamb in the new and holy kingdom city, Jerusalem. And so I'd just like to finish with the last words of Jesus to his followers, where he describes himself as the bright and morning star, Revelation 22, starting at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.